Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in, Thursday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I hope all of you are having a fantastic start to your day, middle part of your day, wherever you may be across this great country or this great land. I am down in Miami doing the show on News Radio 610 WIOD. Appreciate Grace Blazer and her crew taking care of us down here. So many fantastic affiliates. Buck, one of the cool things about doing this show, you and I are on the road quite a bit, getting to see all the different communities and experience their vibe and their interesting nature, and just getting to meet so many listeners. I met so many Clay and Buck listeners last night at the Fox Nation Patriot Awards. So many people, Buck, asking where you were, listening to us all over the country, but in particular, because we were in South Florida for the event, so many South Florida people, and also so many people who were from somewhere else and had gotten fed up and moved to Florida. And I think the numbers, when we get an official tally of all of the different movement that took place during COVID, the amount of people who moved to states like Florida, Tennessee, Texas are going to be off the charts. I think they're underrated right now, just anecdotally based on some of the people that I am meeting on a regular basis. Following several different stories out there, Rittenhouse jury continues to deliberate, try to make a determination. Now in day three, we will talk about that a bit going forward. We have got all sorts of different issues with COVID cases now surging all over the Northeast, all over the Midwest. You'll recall that during the summer, we told you COVID was seasonal in the South. Everybody was piling on the red states. Everybody was piling on Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott and all the big state governors in the South. And now that the blue states are surging, if you look at the numbers, honestly, at an unbelievable rate, suddenly nobody is blaming any of the governors at all. And it's totally vanishing as a political related story at all. When you can't blame the red states, everybody runs in the opposite direction. But what's going on right now? Michigan, COVID cases up 83%, blue state governor. Minnesota, COVID cases up 62%, blue state governor. New Mexico, COVID cases up 43%, blue state governor. New Hampshire, up 78%, blue state governor. Wisconsin, up 53%, blue state governor. And Vermont, the six states that are growing the fastest right now, according to the New York Times database, blue state governor. And this is big deal, Buck, because Joe Biden ran his basement campaign selling everybody the idea of, I'll fix COVID. I'll trust the science. Donald Trump isn't handling COVID right. I will. And as COVID isn't disappearing, Joe Biden's overall approval ratings are tanking at a level, frankly, combined with Kamala Harris, that we've never seen before. Quinnipiac came out with a new poll, Buck. 36% Joe Biden approval. New low. 53% disapproval. And listen to this. 29% approval from independent voters. 56% of them disapprove. This is crazy.
So remember, Biden was, I think that's a critical point. He was supposed to fix COVID, and he came in with 100 days of masking. And remember when people were you know, clapping like trained seals? Yay, 100
days
of masking.
That's going to solve it.
It's amazing. It's all masking, huh? No joke. Here I am. A mask, 100 days, 100 days.
He said it would go away. He said COVID would disappear if we wore masks.
And that was not the very, look, there's what was said, and I think this is fair across the board. There's kind of what was said in the first 30 to 60 days of COVID when we were all like, oh my gosh, in Northern Italy, and it was crazy. And, you know, look, that's, and then there's what you say 6 months, a year, 18 months into COVID, right? These are different things, much broader data sets, much more actual experience. Biden was supposed to get all this under control. Here we are now with OSHA saying they're not going to implement, as it stands right now, could change the legality of this, but they're not going to implement the mandate. I think there was just yes, here we go. In Forbes, there was a study that nearly a third of healthcare workers in U.S. hospitals, Clay, are still not vaccinated. Healthcare workers, there must be so anti-science. They're not vaccinated.
They all had it, by the way.
Yeah, of course they've been exposed to this. We're not tracking natural immunity the way that we should. The CDC doesn't seem to care about natural immunity for quite, I think at this point, manifestly obvious reasons. But it's amazing that they can't even really explain what's going on. You're starting to see the like, well, we don't really know what's going on. Vermont, you've been bringing up Vermont a lot.
Yeah.
I dug into the numbers on Vermont. Right now, they want to tell you, oh, the narrative is two-thirds of patients in the hospital and hospitalizations are rising.
Yes.
And now this is, Vermont's a small state, but it's a little bit like, what was that, the Princess Cruise or something? There was that cruise ship,
right?
Where
back
they had,
in the day. Yeah.
It was almost like a floating Petri dish of how dangerous is COVID? How quickly
how
does
it spread?
Right,
how,
all
yes.
of that. Vermont, if you're looking at a case study for vaccination, is very interesting because it's a state that has actually had a low infection rate overall compared to other states. So not a lot of natural immunity, relatively speaking. But very, very high. I believe the highest in the country per capita vaccination rate, right? You've
yes.
seen that too, right? So what they're telling you right now is, well, two-thirds of hospitalized COVID-19 patients in Vermont, by the way, this is from ABC and New York Times, you know, this isn't, you know, Buck's right wing crazy blog.com. So, you know, Media Matters can stuff it. But, here you go. Two-thirds of hospitalized COVID patients are unvaccinated. That means a third of the people in the hospital right now, let's call it 30 to 35%, are fully vaccinated. That is not insignificant. That is far higher than what we were led to believe for months. Now, I know they'll say, oh, but it's better. This is the mentality of, okay, if 6 feet of distancing doesn't work, let's try 10. If one mask doesn't work, let's try two. There are limits to what we should put ourselves through for limited efficacy in battling this virus with these different measures and mitigation tools that are out there.
No doubt. And also, did you see Fauci came out and said that the CDC is going to have to potentially change their definition of what fully vaccinated means to take into account the booster so that people out there listening who went and got their COVID vaccine and just said, okay, I got my vaccine, leave me alone. You now, in some locations, are not going to classify as fully vaccinated unless you got your vaccine, and then you've also gotten your boosters. Where does this ever end?
I mean, they're going to mandate boosters. When I say they, it may not be everywhere. It may not be possible for them to do it through OSHA, the federal government. They're going to do it in California. They're going to do it in New York. The definition of fully vaccinated is going to change, and they have to change the definition because otherwise what people realize is there is no other rolling vaccination campaign like this that
we've ever
been subjected to. Certainly not that's mandatory. We do call it the flu shot because we understand why, you know, when was the last time you got the flu, Clay? Have you had it recently? I had it like 6 years ago, and I was
wrecked.
It's a
great question.
I was
trying
to think. For like 10 days. Like
tested. I haven't had it in a long time.
Actually, yeah, I actually had it like 6 years ago, and I remember I felt like I actually was on Fox and Friends, and it was super early in the morning. I think it was on like 6 a.m., and I thought maybe I just didn't get enough sleep. Maybe
yeah.
I was a little hungover. We can't tell anybody that. But I'm like, I don't feel so good, and I started I started dripping with sweat and like and started to shake.
Oh,
and I was like, oh, my gosh,
feeling.
I don't get nervous about TV. I'm really sick. And I finished the hit and had to like run. I just came on me so fast. But the point I'm making is if you could avoid the flu every year by getting a flu shot, trust me, you would want to do it. A lot of people know that, you know, it's like a 50-60% shot, you know, maybe some years 70, and they miss and they have to guess and there's different strains and different immunity. It's super complicated. And that's the way we've organized society around this for how many decades now?
Oh,
that's the only way we should be organizing against COVID, too.
I agree. And by the way, as bad as getting the flu is, when it runs through your family, when you've got kids, you have that awful feeling where like one kid gets it and then you're like, okay, I got to take care of this kid. They're throwing up. They're pooping everywhere. And you're like, I'm definitely going to get it. But you have that hanging over your head. and it just like is like a slow moving disaster through the household,
this is,
right?
Is this where your, every is single your, one like of advertisement for why I need to get married and have kids soon, by the way.
I will tell you, I will tell you, there is nothing worse than kid gets sick and you know you're going to get it and your wife might get it and your other kids get it. So the reason when you're asking, I was thinking in my head, the whole family got the flu. It's probably been about 5 or 6 years ago, but the flu in a household is such a slow moving disaster. For like 2 weeks, everybody feels like crap. And then you're, you know, somebody gets it, somebody else gets it. And, but yeah, you're right. I mean, that is where we are headed with COVID, is you're going to have to make a decision. Do you get the flu shot or not?
And when you see the data in Vermont, I want to pull it because I hate ever giving the wrong number. Oh, by the way, a correction. Nobody's talking about getting right. I said Bruce Ratner wrote the op-ed yesterday. I meant Stephen Ratner was Obama's. I don't even know who Bruce Ratner, I don't know why that name was even in my head. Isn't there a Ratner who's a movie director?
I was going to say, I think Bruce Ratner, because I was like, oh yeah, I know that guy. But I feel like there's a Bruce Ratner who is involved in entertainment.
Neither here nor there.
Way.
Just to correct things, because we like to get things right. It was Stephen Ratner who wrote the op-ed and who was a private equity guy. Point being, though, over 90% of senior citizens in Vermont are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, and they're rushing to get the boosters as fast as they possibly can.
Over 98%.
There we go. Thank you.
Fully vaccinated, 65 and up in Vermont.
And so what this is showing us, though, their whole premise is, well, you have to protect them from even being exposed to the virus as much as possible, because even if they're vaccinated, they could still be at risk. 30% of the hospital folks, not 3%, 30%. Does anyone, and can I just take a step back on this for a second, Clay? If I had told somebody 3 months ago, if you had sat down with Fauci 3 months ago and said, sir, what percentage of people do you think will be hospitalized in a state like Vermont who are vaccinated versus, he would have said 95%, 98% will be unvaccinated in the hospital. It's 30% who are unvaccinated, who are actually, I'm sorry, 98% of the people who are in the hospital would have been the unvaccinated. That's not the case at all. So now we look at this and we say, it can't stop you from getting it. It doesn't stop you from spreading it. Yes, it reduces, but we are talking about reductions when we were promised effective control. And that was the illusion of Fauci and the rest of them. We could control this virus with the vaccine. We can do some mitigation of the spread of it and some mitigation of death and hospitalization. But that's only if you keep the shots going as it stands right now for every 6 months.
We don't know. That's the thing. You could set an over under and say, hey, you're going to have to get 8 shots between now and 2 years from now in order to be protected in some way against COVID. It's wild. Also, what's wild, you don't have to wait another week to get the benefit of a great Black Friday deal. A lot of you, you know what? 8 days till Black Friday. We're exactly 1 week, going to catch up, sneak up on a lot of people, 1 week from Thanksgiving. And right now, our friends at Pure Talk have an awesome deal. You can get an iPhone 12 for just $479. Pure Talk Cellular, company better rates. You can save $800 a year or more. My family has this. You can keep your same phone or get a new one. You can keep your same phone number. Super easy to switch. And this offer right now is phenomenal. Unlimited talk, text, 6 gigs of data on Pure Talk's 5G network. Just $30 a month. The buck. How do people get signed up?
It's so easy. And remember, Pure Talk has a 30-day risk-free guarantee, so you literally have nothing to lose. From your cell phone, dial #250 and say Pure Talk. You'll save 50% off your first month and save on a new phone. That's from your phone right now. Dial #250. Say Pure Talk. Some restrictions apply. Call for details. Still no verdict in the Rittenhouse trial as I'm speaking to you right now. Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. We are watching it minute by minute here as the coverage continues. The defense is pushing for a mistrial over the drone video, not a mistrial with prejudice. I believe that was already filed as a motion previously. This would just be a standard mistrial, which would mean the state could bring the entire case again should they choose to do so. But we haven't gotten a ruling on that yet. At issue here is the prosecution had substantially higher resolution video from a drone, because remember, there were riots going on with Biden voters running around, burning things down and attacking people in the streets. Some of them armed and illegally armed at that, I might note. But the video shows one of the shooting incidents, the first shooting incident, I believe, between Rittenhouse and one of his three assailants. And they didn't have the clarity, meaning the prosecution did not give, and under Brady disclosure, they have to give, especially any exculpatory evidence to the other side, didn't give the highest resolution footage they had. They made it grainier and less easy to see. So that's what the mistrial's about. But there's something else, which Clay just brought to my attention in the break here. The judge has come out and said that no one from, well, actually, let's just hear from the judge, Clay, and then we can react. Play it.
Last evening, a person who identified himself as James G. Morrison and who claimed that he was a producer with NBC News, employed for MSNBC, under the supervision of someone named Irene Bayan in New York, for MSNBC. The police, when they stopped him because he was following at a distance of a block and went through a red light, pulled him over and inquired of him what was going on, and he gave that information and stated that he had been instructed by Ms. Bayan in New York to follow the jury bus. The matter is under further investigation at this point. I have instructed that no one from MSNBC News will be permitted in this building for the duration of this trial.
Wow. No one from MSNBC, the evil commie network, getting a slapdown.
Now, to be fair, the investigation is ongoing. This could be some guy who claimed that he was an MSNBC employee, and maybe he's not actually. Just to put that out there, we don't know. People say crazy things. But if the judge is taking the step of banning everyone from MSNBC, I mean, this is a, you know, we talk about the pressure that the jury is under, Buck, and the fear that so many of these private people have, that their photographs will go on the internet, that people will dox them if they find Kyle Rittenhouse not guilty. This is a direct assault upon the independence of the judiciary in this scenario, and of this jury group. And I mean,
can I just say, is it really beyond the pale to think that this could have happened, though? Think about what CNN did with the Russia collusion lie.
No,
they went and harassed private citizens at their homes because they were like fooled by a Russia Facebook group or something, like complete lunatics at CNN.
Buck, they showed up, different media groups did, at the front porches of people who donated small amounts of money to Kyle Rittenhouse's defense fund, to ask them why they had done it.
Yeah, to shame them. It was disgusting. Yes.
So we'll see whether or not this is accurate, but this is a pretty blockbuster move by the judge.
Gold is as solid of an investment as it's ever been, and more important than ever in protecting the value of your savings account. In a world of rapidly increasing inflation and decreasing buying power, what's there to protect your value of your life savings and your IRA? The answer is gold. And today you can take possession of your gold purchase and store it safely if that's something you want to do. My partners at the Oxford Gold Group have precious metals like gold that can be delivered right to your home. So if you think buying real gold is complicated, my friends at the Oxford Gold Group are who you need to call. They'll explain everything to you. Having real gold delivered to your home or having real gold as part of your IRA, it's just a phone call away with Oxford Gold. Call them at 833-404-GOLD. And learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. That's the Oxford Gold Group, 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-G-O-L-D.
Welcome back, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I encourage all of you to go download the podcast. We set a record in October. Would like to set a new record in November for downloads. You can search out my name, Clay Travis. You can search out Buck Sexton. You can go give us 5 stars, hop in, and you will be glad that you did. Especially with the holiday season coming on, you might need some podcasts to listen to. If you're going to be like me, driving to a different state to celebrate the holidays with your family, I've got a lot of time in the car to spend. And so why not go ahead and sign up for the podcast? You can pick out whatever you would like to listen to. In the meantime, Buck, we talked yesterday about the House debating whether or not to censure a Republican member who shared an anime video that had everybody all in a tizzy. And I gotta say, this was a flamethrower from Congresswoman Lauren Boebert, who said, basically, if you're going to come after our guys, I am going to absolutely burn down your village. If you haven't heard this clip, listen to her on the House floor yesterday. Again, they're debating whether or not to censure a Republican congressperson. And so she said, hey, let's run through the list of all the things recently. You'll know who she's talking about here without being able to say them by name. Because I think, Buck, in Congress, you're not supposed to attack people by name. So she's just sharing some of the factual details surrounding them. Get your popcorn and listen to this.
Since the speaker has designated the floor to discuss members' inappropriate actions, shall we? The Jihad Squad member from Minnesota has paid her husband, and not her brother husband, the other one, over $1 million in campaign funds. This member is allowed on the Foreign Affairs Committee while praising terrorists. And then the cherry on top. My colleague and 3-month presidential candidate from California, who is on the Intelligence Committee, slept with Feng Feng, a Chinese spy. This is unacceptable.
Wow.
Oh, Buck.
She's bringing Feng Feng into things here.
Oh, my goodness.
Damn. That's woo.
You don't know, mess with the congresswoman from Colorado, Buck. She's not bringing a knife to a gunfight. She's bringing the AK.
She is feisty over this one. And I don't know if you saw, then there was Ilhan Omar.
Oh, she's fired.
Slapped at Boebert on Twitter and made some comments. I mean, I could probably find it in a second, but it was essentially Ilhan Omar saying, well, you know, fortunately my family raised me right, or something like that. And then there were a lot of blue check comments about the whole allegation of the marrying of the brother as an immigration scam thing. So things are getting a little
feisty.
Little feisty in
some spice
congressional
in the house.
Congressional world right now. I got to say, that's definitely happening. And look, I mean, if you're somebody who is watching the Democrats right now and you're hoping that they're going to come up with some kind of narrative of success, I think you're going to be very disappointed. So it's going to get personal. They're going to go on offense, and you're going to hear a lot about how Republicans don't have the decorum and they're insurrectionists and Trumpists and all this stuff, because what else are they going to say?
Oh, they don't like when they get popped back. We've talked about this before. Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. She punched some people in the mouth there. By the way, we should mention in the House, that's a Mike Tyson quote, by the way. One of my favorite quotes ever. Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And I think, frankly, that's why so many people love Trump. Not because he's a bull in a china shop, but you throw a punch at him, he's coming back harder at you. And there's so many people out there that take punches, especially in the Republican Party historically, and like kind of curl up in the fetal position and just lay there and keep getting wailed on. You're like, hey, stand up for yourself. And there's a lot of younger Republicans who are willing to stand up for themselves in a way, frankly, that the old corporate structure of the Republican Party wouldn't. And let me say this, too. Big significant news in the House, Buck. They're trying to pass the Bernie budget, the Joe Biden budget, whatever you want to say, the Build Back Better inflation-laden disaster of a bill. They're supposed to get the Congressional Budget Office scoring, in other words, what this right. cost today, and they're going to try to push it through tonight in the House.
They've been telling you that it will add nothing to the debt and that it is paid for. My
Double
friends,
lies.
That is what you would call in reality land a lie. And one of the big ways that they try to get there, remember, it has to be a lie that they at least think they can defend, right? It has to be something where they'll make a case for their side. If it's too obvious a falsehood, then that's contrary to their purposes. What they're doing is creating all these programs. They're pushing all these money into all this money into things, and then they're essentially putting in a sunset provision. Unless we reauthorize the spending for universal pre-K or whatever it may be, unless we reauthorize it, it doesn't necessarily continue.
We all know once a government program is created,
it never continues.
And so they pretend that it'll only be, let's say, 4 or 5 years of spending in an outlay when it's going to be forever, essentially. But the budget, you know, is going to be over a 10-year period is how they score this. And so they're just playing accounting games. They're playing tricks with the numbers to make it seem at a time of rising inflation like they aren't doing the one thing. I mean, never even mind a college level econ 101. I think if you asked a lot of high school kids, hey, what will happen if you print more money and there's inflation? A lot of them would be like, you're going to cause more inflation.
I've talked about this, Buck. You probably remember this when you're a kid. I remember seeing stories about the national debt when I was a kid. And I remember thinking, well, how can the government ever be in debt if they can always just print more money? And when you're a kid, you have a childlike understanding of economics. That's the understanding that the Democratic Party has right now. And Buck, even some of the adults in the Democratic Party who used to serve under Obama are now coming out and saying, you guys are madmen in thinking that you can add this many trillions of dollars and there aren't going to be major inflationary consequences.
The thing about inflation is that people feel it and they know it and it's real. Oh, did you see? Oh, wait. I got an inflation thing. I want to bring everyone's attention. I got a little excited. I almost left this out. New York Times, supposed to be a place where smart people work. As we know, they came after the Buckster and then they had to get schooled. They're going to come after the Clayster soon. That's going to happen.
Oh, no doubt. You know, it's going
to
happen.
Just waiting for that Clay Travis hit piece to come out. But don't worry, dude, we're in the bunker. We'll take down the commies together. But there's a New York Times writer, Sarah Jung, who tweeted out, this is amazing. New York Times supposed to be where the smart people all work. She tweeted out, quote, all the stuff you see about inflation in the news is driven by rich people flipping their blank because their parasitic assets aren't doing as well as they'd like. And they're scared that unemployment benefits and stimmy checks and $15 minimum wage is why. Okay, let me just say, that's the exact opposite. It's amazing because people that have assets, if you have money in the stock market, look where the stock market is. If you have a home, look where your home price is right now. Inflation helps those who already own. She had the exact reverse understanding of who's being hurt by this. This is who works at these places, folks.
It's
they're not
basic.
Smart. They check boxes and they're libs.
It's basic economics, Buck. I retweeted and responded to that because I saw that yesterday right after our show ended. And the idea that you would think that inflation harms rich people more than it harms poor people is so insanely dumb that you lack a fundamental understanding of economics. And basically the easy way, and you pointed out the rich assets as they increase in value, but simple fact is the more money you have to spend of your take-home pay on goods, the more you are impacted. Inflation is a default tax on the poor. Not understanding that is embarrassing for someone who is in a position like that. By the way, if we've learned anything since 2020, it's that there's nothing quite as important as a powerful immune system. Dr. Dennis Black has created Texas Superfood, has 55 vine-ripened fruits and vegetables, plus probiotic and digestive enzymes. You can build your body's defense from the inside out. Dr. Black wants you to know your immune system's job is to detect, deflect, and destroy bacteria you come in contact with, which is why Texas Superfood boosts your immune system better than anything on the market. Your grandma told you to eat your fruits and veggies, but with busy schedules, fast food, most people don't. For over 20 years, Texas Superfood has been hooking everybody up. And Buck, how can you make sure that you're living the best version of your healthy lifestyle?
You can start boosting your immune system, folks, for under $2 a day. Go to TexasSuperfood.com/Buck or call 855-TEXAS-55. That's TexasSuperfood.com/Buck or call 855-TEXAS-55. Glenn Buck Show continuing here, trying to tell folks to get ready for the Inflation Nation situation that is going to be unfolding next year because Biden administration, sorry, now it's actually more rhymes than I intended. Biden administration is pushing this stuff despite what all common sense, historical knowledge, math would tell them
they should do. If you're wondering, here's Joe Biden still with the spending trillions of dollars, the government spending trillions of dollars, after already spending $1.9 trillion earlier this year, after spending trillions in 2020 to pay people to stay home, isn't going to make inflation worse because no joke, or whatever Biden says.
Through the leading rating agencies on Wall Street, confirmed today, not a liberal think tank, two Wall Street outfits, that the economic proposals we put forward for the nation, the infrastructure law we just signed and the Build Back Better plan are being considered this week in Congress will not add to inflationary pressures in the economy. And the one, here's what one of the agencies said, and I quote, the bills do not add inflation pressures. Let me repeat that. Do not add inflation pressures. Reason? Because the policies I proposed, quote, help lift long-term economic growth via stronger productivity, labor force growth, as well as taking the edge off inflation.
Joe Biden has invented, Clay, a chocolate cupcake that never runs out, that tastes more delicious than anything else you've ever eaten, and doesn't actually have any calories. There you go. Endless amounts of eating chocolate cupcakes with no downside, and you never run out. You can believe that, and then you can believe what Biden says, because it's magical thinking.
It's magical thinking, Buck, and it's not even supported by the Obama Democratic regime, the one that he was the vice president for. Their economic advisors are coming out and saying it's nonsensical to expect that you can pour trillions of dollars into the economy and that the economy is not going to get overheated. And this just comes back to one of our consensus and I would say consistent storylines here. The Democratic Party doesn't have people who understand basic business anymore. They have abandoned the idea of capitalism in much of the Democratic leadership. And they have this fantastical line of thinking that they can spend money as much as they want, and they can go into debt as much as they want, and they can flood this country with cheap dollars, and that it's not going to increase the overall cost of goods when every single person listening to us right now who has to fill up their car, when every single person out there who's going to be going out to buy things for Thanksgiving is seeing on the on their literally coming out of their wallet monster increases in what things are costing. And by the way, that default tax on the poor is actually leading to a net pay decrease for so many workers out there.
And certainly no doubt still recovering from her extensive Indigenous Peoples Day celebration, Elizabeth Warren is out
Pocahontas
there, out there talking about increased gas prices. And this is what she says, and she's supposed to be one of the smart ones among the Democrats.
We know exactly who the oil companies, what the oil companies pay attention to, what is their number one priority, profits. And so think about it this way. If we really, this were just ordinary inflation, we might see prices go up. But prices at the pump have gone up. Why? Well, let me give you a hint. Chevron, Exxon have doubled their profits. This isn't about inflation. This is about price gouging for these guys.
My name is Elizabeth Warren, and I don't know how a market works. I don't know how the oil industry works, but I'm a stupid person's idea of what a smart person sounds like.
First of all, Pocahontas, I think, is the funniest nickname that Trump ever gave any candidate. I mean, I that literally makes me laugh every time he would say Pocahontas. And look, of course, the oil company's goal is to make money. They are for-profit businesses. This is not a revolutionary concept. The reason why oil prices are going up to a large extent is because the Democratic Party destroyed the energy independence that we had created, which gave us more bargaining power with OPEC because OPEC couldn't control completely all of the global price of oil when the United States was creating and producing massive amounts of energy. When Biden came in, they immediately curtailed, and they're trying to curtail it even more, creating more pricing power for OPEC. And again, the overall price increases everywhere. I believe gas prices are up 50% over last year at this exact same time. But that's not unique in America. Yeah. Many prices are up.
You know what? Democrats are, Democrats are so worried about this, too, because historically, people, a lot of people who vote, really don't like high gas prices.
No doubt.
It's one of these things where they can tell you as much as they want. Oh, but, you know, we're doing such a great job, and we've, you know, made millions of jobs. Like, they're just creating jobs in some job factory somewhere, right, where they're just rolling them off the assembly line as if that's Joe Biden's, in some way, his purview. The reality is people are seeing the prices, they're seeing the cost of filling up their car for filling up a tank of gas. And everything about this Democrat Party is ultra hostile toward fossil fuels now. I mean, they've really jumped the shark on this one. They've gone completely nutso, which is why they talk about the need to treat climate change as an urgent national security emergency. And they're hoping that, I think, some of the complacency and authoritarianism of COVID will spill over into their climate agenda stuff. It's a big part of the Build Back Better agenda, by the way. A lot of that money going toward the imaginary problem of the world ending because of CO2 emissions.
Buck, when we come back, MSNBC has responded to the story. They have been banned from the Rittenhouse courthouse over allegedly stalking jurors. What is the story here? NBC via MSNBC has officially released a statement. This is a blockbuster story, Buck. We're going to have to dive into it when we come back next hour. It's crazy.
Not good for the commie news outlets, that's for sure. We hold them accountable here, folks. That's what we do on Clay and Buck, and we got more coming. Stick around.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.